Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Successful media and public affairs consultant, accomplished entrepreneur and national writer and contributor, attorney who served in the Missouri House of Representatives, worked in the White House and CNN, thought leader, entrepreneur, and host who takes the conversation to the next level.
Prepare to get rare access to fascinating guests.
You're connected. You have the it factor. You've joined
Grill Nation.
Connect with Jason on Twitter at Jason Grill. Connect with the show on Twitter at Grill Nation Show and online at grillnationshow.com.
Welcome your host of Grill Nation, always dressed up and ready to go even in a radio studio. Here's Jason Grill.
Hello and welcome to the Grill Nation Show here on 980 AM. And if you're listening on iTunes today, I greatly appreciate it. Or on our website, grillnationshow.com. Hope you've been having a great start to 2020. Very excited about today's show. We are going to talk a lot about investments, about entrepreneurship, about innovation, about ways to make Kansas City a better place for business, for job creation, for everything under the sun. We're going to be talking today to Darcy Howe, who's the founder and managing director of the KC Rise Fund. Very excited to talk to her. They're on Twitter at KC Rise Fund. All one word, and also online at kcrisefund.com. I had a chance to hear from Darcy recently at an event about kind of the advancement of the KC Rise Fund and all the different things they've been working on. So I thought it'd be interesting to have her on. I think venture capital is really important right now, and the investments of KC Rise Fund are making a difference for Kansas City's future. So I want to thank our partners and supporters of the show. I appreciate all your support and look forward to working more with you in the future in 2020. So without further ado, let's bring on Darcy Howe. Darcy, how are you today?
Jason, how are you?
It's good to see you. You have your Chiefs mittens with you today.
And you have on your entrepreneurial look with your vest, your Patagonia vest.
I know.
And check shirt.
I wore this for you today because I wanted to. Sometimes I always wonder when you're talking to someone like yourself who's kind of involved in the entrepreneurial world, do I offend you if I'm wearing a suit and tie? You know, because yeah. It's kind of the. You know, it's not kind of the norm in that world, is it?
Oh, boy, my wardrobe has changed so much over the decades from, hose and heels to I am in jeans. And
tell us about your background. I know you've been in wealth management and doing that kind of thing for quite a while. Many years,
so,
actually.
Yes.
Until you retired into this job.
That's right. I thought I retired for good, and here I am. Private wealth management for 30-plus years, and worked with families toward the end of my career, worked with families that were extremely high net worth, and began the private banking investment group with another 29 other advisors around the country to work in the space of $10 million in up liquid asset families.
And when we first met, I think you were doing that.
I
first met you and when we had the entrepreneur show back in the day, you came on to kind of talk about that because you were involved with a lot of different boards as well. With a lot of women entrepreneurial groups.
Well, and also with Next Gen, I always used to say that kids born in wealthy families, it's not their fault they were born on third base. So how do you help use the resources of the family to not squelch their achievement, but actually help their achievement bones that they obviously have in that family? So it's been an interesting mission, and what I'm doing now is kind of a an adjunct to that, actually, really trying to help families get educated and get the next generation off the sidelines they're excited about technology. They understand technology. They were born native technology people. So let's bring Kansas City into the next generation of what does that economy look like in this region, and technology will play a big part.
So you were you left your job, your full-time job, and how long did you obviously you're involved civically and in boards and whatnot, but how long did you sit on the sidelines before you became the head of the KC Rise Fund?
I think that was about 2 weeks.
2 weeks, okay.
I cleaned out the Christmas wrapping closet, and that's when I knew, you know, if I'm here at 10:30 in the morning cleaning out my Christmas wrapping closet, I probably ought to have something else to do with my time.
Mm-hmm. And so tell us about how that started, the KC Rise Fund. And I know that there's a lot of stuff going on with it we'll get into in the next few segments, but how did this all happen?
Well, it started through the KC Rising Initiative. So this is an initiative of the Civic Council, Mid-America Regional Council, the Kent City Area Economic Development folks, mm-hmm. and just trying to figure out, why is Kansas City falling behind? Why are we not growing as quickly as some other cities? And some other cities that don't seem all that obvious, Indianapolis, Nashville. You know, Kansas City was bigger than Denver and Dallas 40 plus years ago. So, like, what's happened here, and what can we do about it? And so I joined as a volunteer, one of the work groups. Ron LeMay was leading the Innovation and Entrepreneurship Work Group. And it became very clear, having been an angel investor and asset manager, and just we were not connecting the dots. There were a small group of little secret groups of investors, mostly older men, who, if you found them, you hope that what they like is what you do. Because if you're a biotech investor, a biotech company, and you find these guys, they didn't love biotech, as an example. So it was, if you found them, good for you, but it was hard to find them. And the investors in town were basically saying, hey, you know, there aren't any good deals here. I don't invest much in Kansas City. We had one focus group, Ron and I did, where we got some of the most well-to-do folks in town, business people. And one guy, like, wrapped his hand on the desk and said, well, it doesn't help when the Kansas City Star says there's only $34 million invested in Kansas City. I did that alone. And this was probably about 2016. And we all looked at each other and went, who the heck knew? Nobody knew.
Nobody knew.
So, and flash forward now, we've had many, we Kansas City have had many families who have publicly said, in the newspapers, like, this is so un-Kansas City, we have X millions of dollars, in some cases hundreds of millions of dollars, that we're putting together a family office to make some investments. And not just in venture, but in a lot of ways. And that's the kind of change we've needed in Kansas City, is to get out from the secret. And it's not secret because people were trying to be hold it all to themselves. It's because it's the nature of Kansas City, right? Mm-hmm. We're understated. Everyone wants to, you drive the Oldsmobile and you pretend like you don't have a lot of wealth. And, mm-hmm. And that's a charm of us, but it's also our Achilles heel.
So there was a miscommunication, really. It was this, people had a lot of money and they just didn't feel like Kansas City was producing a lot of high growth startups, I guess you would say. They didn't know who they were at the time, because frankly, it's been about 10 years, maybe a little less, that it really kind of became a thing, right? A thing where people were, the Business Journal was actually writing articles about startups, or the Star was actually writing an article, and the radio show, and Kauffman became more prevalent with 1 million cups in Kansas City and the region. But there wasn't any connectors. There wasn't any communications happening between these people that you used to work with and the entrepreneurs and the startups, right?
Well,
so that's why there was no good things to invest in.
Well, Mid-America Angels, I give them a ton of credit. They were very much the 10, 11, 12 years ago.
One of the first things I heard about when I got involved in entrepreneurs.
Women's Capital Connection was an adjunct to that, investing only in women-led businesses. I was a founding member of that. So that was 10 or 12 years ago.
Wow.
But that
time flies.
About all that I can remember.
But now it's a whole nother. Now it's a whole nother level, and we'll get into that in our next segment. KC Rise Fund is a co-investment fund which invests with institutional venture capital partners in early stage companies seeking $1 million or more in funding. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about some of the companies you guys have invested in, some of the people that you're involved with, and just kind of how this thing has evolved over the last few years. Our guest today is Darcy Howe. She's the founder and managing director of the KC Rise Fund. They're online at kcrisefund.com. You're listening to the Grill Nation show here on 980 AM. I'm Jason Grill. We'll be right back.
closed off from love. I didn't need the pain. Once or twice was enough.
Hello and welcome back to the Grill Nation Show. I'm Jason Grill, your host, 980 AM and on iTunes via podcast. Appreciate you joining us. Hope you're having a great day. I'm with Darcy Howe, who's the founder and managing director of the KC Rise Fund. Their website is kcrisefund.com. Very, very awesome website, simple website, easy to navigate. I love it. Darcy, you got a lot of stuff to talk about, but let's start talking about kind of KC Rise Fund. We talked about kind of how it was formed. Tell us what it does and kind of where you guys have been and where you came from. Essentially, I know you're kind of on your second fund now. Is that correct? Tell us about kind of how it all went down with the first fund and kind of what your mission was and who invests with you all. What types of people?
So young companies that are just getting started need capital. They need all kinds of capital, right? And not all companies will be high-growth technology companies like the ones that we invest in. We invest in a very small subset of all the companies that are formed. But that small subset is extremely powerful in any region because they move quickly. They hire a lot of people. Mm-hmm.
They create more jobs than anyone else in our economy.
It's in
according to the labor
Kansas
statistics.
City, yeah. Well, according to KC SourceLink, it's something like 58% of all the net new jobs in this region are created by somebody who already lives here and decides to start a business. Now, that could be a Main Street business. It could be a high-growth technology business like we invest in. But we are the growth engine by far in this region. And so I talk a lot publicly about how are we putting resources toward this group? It's not as much fun. You don't ribbon cut as easily as bringing in a distribution center or something mm-hmm. like that. I understand that. But if these are the folks who want to live here, want their families to, they want to stay in school here and grow their businesses here, we ought to do something, we collectively, whether it's civically or policy or just, Kauffman Foundation says out of 1,000 people, 3 people are entrepreneurs and the other 997 of us need to support them. Mm-hmm. So I see myself as both an entrepreneur, I'm a capital entrepreneur,
sure,
but also more importantly, we're a part of the support system. So why did we pick a small subset of, little bit?
So you guys are western half of Missouri, entire state of Kansas. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. And why did we pick that? One, because our investors said, if I want to invest somewhere else, I'd invest somewhere else. So I'm trying to help Kansas City. Let's stay really focused. And it's turned out that's been part of our secret sauce is we know this region better than anyone. And mm-hmm. so that's why the venture firms from around the country who 4 years ago, were skeptical. Like, can you really build a company here? Is there enough talent to build a company?
And you heard that all the time.
Oh, I hear it.
Yeah.
But I had a guy in San Francisco who literally said, a guy in his mid-30s.
Silicon Valley person.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I can't imagine that there's anything that's that interesting out there to be 2 days away from here. Mm-hmm. That was 2016. Now, we look at, I just was on the break showing you our LinkedIn. Like, we had over 20,000 views of one post I just posted last week that said, these 23 companies, since KC Rice Fund started putting money into them, not because of us, but we're just a factor, right? We're leverage. These companies have raised over $280 million mm-hmm. since October of 16 when this fund went live. So folks are believing it. And of that money, something like 78% of it's from out of town.
Right. And a lot of the views are from out of town, correct? You talked about 20,000 views.
Yeah.
Are we talking about Chicago, New York, San Francisco,
yeah, exactly.
D.C.? Where do people look at us from? Are those the cities?
Those are the cities. And you look at Startland News as mm-hmm. well, which mm-hmm. is covers the startup scene. I highly recommend everyone, if you're interested in this topic, to start watching both the Kansas City Business Journal and Startland News. Startland News's viewers or readers are slightly more than half out of town.
Mm-hmm. So that might not sound like much, but just 5-10 years ago, we didn't have anything like Startland News. I mean, there was no media outlet.
And nobody was looking at Kansas City from out of town. Now, when we send, the KC Rice Fund sends out a little deal sheet to, we've got 175 venture firms that we show deal flow to. We've partnered with 41 around the country between these 23 companies.
Tell us what that means exactly. for our laymans out there that aren't that are listening, when you talk about deal flow and sheets that you share with people, I mean, you're sharing them with other venture firms, you're sharing them with other...
So someone's building a business in Kansas City and they need capital. And so what we do is we will show, let's see, 4 to 8 different companies about once a quarter to all of these other institutional funds like Casey Rice Fund, but are somewhere else, who might be interested in what's going on in Kansas City. And
so you not only give these folks investment capital, you also kind of help them to connect your connector by heart, by trade, you personally. So you're actually opening doors to these startups, that not only financial doors, but also potential doors to international, or excuse me, to United States, all over the place.
Even capital. International. We've got one of our portfolio companies has a Swiss venture firm, and they, in this particular company, it's called Spear Power Systems in Grandview, Missouri. They are a battery energy technology company. And there were some of the big other investors, Chevron and some other ABBs, big time energy investors, came in and they go, "Well, we want more. We want a bigger part of the company. Get rid of Casey Rice Fund." That would be the and we had investors in Kansas City like, "How are you going to compete with these? You know, if you really attract big venture, the big venture firms are so in tune with how important it is to have boots on the ground like us. We're helping." We help Spear Power Systems look at some of the Missouri work credits for hiring people in the state of Missouri, for instance. And the Swiss investor said, we're 7 or 8 time zones away. It's great to have somebody who has boots on the ground. And by the way, Spear Power Systems was introduced to us by Evergy Ventures, which is the venture arm or the investment arm of what was KCP&L, which is now the Westar KCP&L combo. So there are corporations who are very interested in this as well in the region. They understand they can only innovate so well internally. That's sort of their lane, is to do what they do well and just keep your head down and do it. So it's innovative, I think, that some of the corporations are looking at how can innovation outside our walls help us to compete. The world's, you know, changing faster and faster. And one of our investors said, she says to her board, "We need to Uber ourselves before we get Kodak'd." Think about that. And so that's the case of, you know, look at H&R Block, where they created an entire category of an industry of tax preparation. And over the years, others have innovated more quickly on the online. On, think about TurboTax and all. And now H&R Block, with their new CEO Jeff Jones, is really regaining that that mojo of, hey, we should be leading this, and this is our hometown company here.
Right.
So there, I think there's a lot of connectivity between institutional investors outside of Kansas City believing that entrepreneurs can grow a business here, you can find the talent, and corporations in Kansas City really interested in what kind of business innovation as well as industry innovation can we connect with. It's either built here in Kansas City or built somewhere else. We're a co-investment fund, so we could help any corporation find innovation amongst our 175 other institutional investors that we co-invest with. So there's so many things that starting out with this, I never really thought about, like, what would I know what I was doing in running a venture fund? I'd never run a venture fund before. But
you kind of knew the tenets of it, and you were able to bring in the investments, the capital.
And
how much did you guys have to raise for your first fund?
So our first fund was $19
million. Okay.
We're on our way on the second fund. We've raised a little bit more than that so far for our second fund. We'll keep going for a while. We'll be open for a little while. But I think the most important thing about that capital is, so far, almost all of it was raised in Kansas City between corporations. In fact, almost 50% of our fund currently is corporate money. And the rest of our families, multi-generational families. So go back to my days as an asset manager. The 20 and 30 and 40 somethings of the families in Kansas City are having so much fun. Mm-hmm. Actually, the 50-something folks who had a business, sold, and have a couple of bucks, and this is where they want to go. I just had a conversation this morning with somebody in a corporation in Kansas City who's a little bit bored, a bigger corporation, wants to do something more with earlier stage. We're seeing, oh my God, I get LinkedIn requests every day for somebody who is either interested in moving back to Kansas City or mm-hmm. interested in being a resource partner for our portfolio.
That's a good point you brought up about people coming back to Kansas City or working with people. A lot of the people you said are investors from Kansas City, but if they're not, they're people that maybe grew up here or have a background here.
They're more the talent. So the folks that mm-hmm. I'm getting the LinkedIn requests from or
people that might want to move back here.
Yeah. Okay. And the classic, this is the classic. They grew up here or went to school in the region. They have a 2-year-old. Mm-hmm. They live in a 800, 900 square foot apartment in New York or San Francisco or wherever. Maybe have a dog. Their friends are moving out of town because they're buying houses. And here's the clincher. Grandma says she'll babysit one day a week.
So, I love it. That's a good reason to come back.
That's the profile. Any of you out there who know somebody like that, reach out to me because we'll find a place for
them. They want to come back, but now they know they have opportunities here.
They didn't believe it. That's why they moved to New York and San Francisco and Boston, all these other places. They more and more are believing it. Mm-hmm. That's really, really fun.
Darcy Howe is our guest for the hour today from the KC Rise Fund, kcrisefund.com. Darcy, when we come back, I want to kind of talk about how startups and entrepreneurs can get involved. What does your investment process look like? What's the kind of the accountability, transparency? I know you guys have a process that's very well orchestrated. And then how much money you invest in these particular startups and companies after the break. You're listening to The Grill Nation Show.
Hey there, Delilah, what's it like in New York City? I'm 1,000 miles away.
Don't be so quick to... Welcome back to the Grill Nation Show, 980 AM and on iTunes via podcast or on our website, grillnationshow.com, where I will post photos of our guests and all of our old shows so you can go back and listen with the descriptions of each of them. Today I'm with Darcy Howe, who is with KC Rise Fund. She's the founder and managing director. She has a long history in the Kansas City region, doing all kinds of things with capital and wealth and helping people find financial returns. I will mention that, you know, people do want returns on these investments. This is not just
Number one.
Up Kansas City. You have to show that these companies are exiting or growing or are building capital and have their investors get a little
return.
It
was so confusing at first because it came out of the KC Rising Initiative, which is a nonprofit initiative in the region. Like, are you a nonprofit?
Similar branding on the logo.
Yeah, so, a little bit. It was, we were born out of KC Rising, the initiative. So it seemed appropriate to name it that, but it's been confusing. It's like, no, we are totally, completely a .com for-profit. If we don't, I mean, really think about it this way too. If we aren't successful in giving folks a financial return that is commensurate with the risk, and this is a risky business to invest in early stage, less proven companies, then we're going to blow it for this region. No one will do this. So I am laser focused on having a good return. And it's at first, because this was, again, a volunteer, I think, oh, okay, well, I'll put this fund together and then the chamber can own it or the civic council. And the investors looked at me like, uh-uh. Now, I'm not giving you money to go, give it to some other organization.
Right.
So, I take it very seriously.
And you're talking about what types of checks are you guys writing to these early stage companies? Is this proof of concept checks? Have they reached their seed fund?
Let me help the listeners understand how the capital continuum. It starts with an idea, and that idea then generally is funded by that entrepreneur personally or with their friends and family mm-hmm. or with their credit cards or whatever they got to do mm-hmm. to come up with some viability of this business. Then they go to angel investors. Those are individuals like the Mid-America Angels or Women's Capital Connection. There are angel groups around Kansas City. And those are individuals who make decisions about where they'd like to get in. And that's a little bit earlier. That would be prior to the first institutional capital, which is what venture is. That's where we are. And venture generally means you might have 5 or 10 or maybe even 20 people in your company, you have generally have a few paying customers, and you need the capital to scale. That's what you need. We're not just hoping a proof of concept. We're proof of concepts already happened prior to where the venture world is.
But you guys are still in that kind of that seed fund of one, you know, 100,000 to 500,000.
It's funny.
You're not multi-million dollars in here. This is not a one company.
Are the way we define seed or Series A, it's all very confusing.
Yeah, it is.
But because the Coast talk about those numbers, and their numbers are very different than ours are. And I would say that when an entrepreneur is looking for $1 million or more, that's generally when the institutional capital begins, whatever you want to call it. And for us, we can't be more than, we're very disciplined in the way we think about our first check. It can't be more than 20% of what they're looking for in terms of total money from others. And
why is that, Darcy?
Because we don't lead rounds. We're trying to be catalysts, not...
You're helping them kind of get past that valley of death, as they like to say in entrepreneurial world. To the next level, people who do want to do that kind of investment.
And there's something about venture that's very different from a term called private equity. In private equity, these are more seasoned companies. These are companies that actually have profit generally, and ours don't have profit yet. In private equity, it's a bit of a zero-sum game. One investor wins, they get the opportunity to invest, and everybody else loses. In venture, it's a team sport. These are earlier companies. They're not profitable yet. They need a team around them to really help them with that, with their network, with understanding how to build a business, et cetera. So it's a team sport. So our capital is part of what we do. The other part is that we help them build syndicate by finding other capital to build out that $1 million. On average, our portfolio companies have raised about $4.4 million in the first round in which we've been in. And the other thing about venture, unlike private equity is you go in big and you want to own a big part of the company. In venture, you invest in a smaller way, and then you hold money back to, if they meet their objectives, their key performance indicators, big KPIs, that's something that you say a lot of acronyms in this business. if they meet their key performance indicators, then theoretically the value of the company grows and they can attract more investors and they can attract more money. And so you give them a little on the front end and then you give a little more. And the standard of most venture firms when they're putting their first dollar in is, can you see a pathway to a 20 times return on that first dollar? That's a big, big number. Mm-hmm. A 20 times return on that first dollar, which means if you invest in a company that, let's say, and these are equity. So for your listeners to be educated, we're not loaning them money. We're actually owning a part of the company.
You get equity or some kind of a note.
Ownership of the company of some sort. So let's just say in Kansas City, it wouldn't be uncommon for first institutional money to come in when the company has a valuation of $5 to $10 million, has revenue of maybe $500,000 to $1 million. This is totally generalizing, but gives your listeners a little bit of an idea. And they're raising $1 million or $2 million. And so if you think about a 10 or 20 times return on that, if I'm investing $100,000, then I would expect to get $2 million back for that $100,000 over the life of my investment in that company, which could be 4, 5, 10 years. It could be up to 10 years.
So, and stuff like that is happening.
Oh, my gosh. Happening in spades. Happening in spades. So it's amazing how many companies have grown. I'd love to give you an example. You want an example?
Yes.
So I won't give numbers because I haven't ask them permission for this, but I'll just give you a general idea because I want to give you a real example. Mm-hmm. Backlot Cars has grown here. When we met them, May or June of 2017.
So not that long ago.
Yeah. They were maybe a dozen folks in a C-grade building down on Southwest Boulevard, crammed into this little space. And they were in two markets. And what do? They basically are an online marketplace to buy and sell used cars. So they have three products. You can go on as a dealer. So this is dealer to dealer only. You go on as a dealer and you can buy or sell a used car. You can have it transported from point A to point B, and you can finance that. So they have three, those are three products. And they were in St. Louis and Kansas City when we got there. Today, or I should say, by the end of this quarter, they will be in virtually every state and large city in this country. And they have had a 20 plus times revenue growth.
Mm. Wow.
20 times revenue growth from the day we got there 2.5 years ago till now. And those dozen folks in the C-grade building down on Southwest Boulevard, they are now occupy an entire floor of the Lightwell building, the old City Center Square Lightwell building at 12th and Main. And they have 75 employees there and another 75 employees out in the field because they have their distributed workforces around the country.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable there. Darcy Howe is with us. Darcy, what types of investors, what's kind of the minimum that you guys look for your investor for the fund? How much money do they put in, and or is it all over the map?
I don't know where what my SEC
compliance
is here.
Oh, I'm sorry. I won't ask that
here,
question. But let's just say it's got zeros on it.
Number.
It's got zeros on it.
Yeah, it's a six-figure number.
Okay.
And the money is...
I don't know what your SEC things are either, so we'll just leave it at that.
So but the commitments, this is an important thing about venture. You make a commitment, and then we don't call the capital until we find ideas that meet our standard to invest in.
Through your investment process, and let's talk about that. Tell me what that looks like. It's on your website, again, at kcrisefund.com. This is all public information. You know, you guys have a process.
Yes.
And, you know, it starts with you get introduced to them, or someone files something or reaches out to you and says, hey, I'm interested.
So they can reach out on our website,
right,
and pull out down our form and tell us about themselves. We have scouts all over our region from Columbia, Missouri, Springfield, Wichita, Lawrence, Topeka, Manhattan, Salina, who are helping us to know who is incubating something cool. And we go to these markets, again, to know who the folks are. And we help them long before they're ready for institutional money like ours.
Mm.
We've looked.
It's all about collaboration, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And just for, you know, even I, when I started this, said, this was the pitch we had to the investors. We're not sure if there's enough venture backable, high quality deal flow to build a fund. But if you'll make a commitment, mm-hmm, then we'll call the capital only if we find it. And now, this is 4 years about now. 4 years ago is when we started just running around town saying, if we built it, would you come? We've seen more than 300 entrepreneurs and looked at all of those deals and have tried to help as many as we can. We can't help everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And not every idea is venture backable.
You got to say no sometimes, right, Darcy?
That's right. We got to say no a lot.
Darcy Howe is with us. We have one segment left. We'll talk more about that. We'll talk about the future of KC Rise, the future of KC Rise Fund, and more exciting stuff here after the break on Grill Nation.
Somewhere there's speaking, it's already coming in. Oh, and it's rising at the back of your mind. You never could get it.
Welcome back to the show, the Grill Nation Show. I'm Jason Grill. Thanks for listening today. It's been a fascinating show. If you're on 980 AM, we greatly appreciate it, or on iTunes via podcast. Thanks for joining us today. With Darcy Howe again, the founder and managing director of the KC Rise Fund. They're online at kcrisefund.com. Darcy, we've talked a lot about a lot of different things regarding the fund and how exciting it is and all the success so far, but I want to talk to you more about kind of what companies maybe make sense to be born in our region versus companies that maybe do not. What are some companies, if there's people listening out with an idea or have a company that can grow here, what type of industries and focuses are we looking at here?
So some themes that we have seen, and this makes sense once you hear it, right, is logistics, transportation. We're the crossroads. We're NAFTA, north, south. There's east and west. We're in the center. That would make some sense. We have four or five companies in logistics. IoT, Internet of Things, which is basically a fancy word of saying things that are wireless. What's connected in your home? What's connected with your healthcare? What's connected in so many ways in our lives? A few years ago, none of us had any connected anything, and today, a lot of us have a lot of.
Some of us do, some of us don't. Maybe
I had Christmas lights that I could decide whether they were going to be, chaser or blinking, or
I've got those too, and I love those.
so and you think about that is Sprint, who has a little downsizing. We've got some really talented people that Sprint brought to town so many years ago, whose families want to stay here, and so there's some really interesting wireless Internet of Things being built here.
Agriculture, maybe.
Think about agriculture. We have some health tech and fintech. So think about some of the why it should be built here, and what are the larger companies that we have here where there are folks who have good ideas but maybe can't execute that idea within the larger company because it's just not their focus, or they're not moving quickly enough, or whatever it is. That's where our entrepreneurs are coming from, some of those places. Interestingly, in our portfolio, our average founder is slightly over 40 years old. So we have founders in their 20s and love the energy that they bring to something new. And, they haven't heard no very often, so they can just charge ahead and love that. And then there are founders who are in their 40s, and we have some in their 50s and 60s, who have been in an industry for a long time and understand where it's going and how they can move quickly and nimbly in a small company to build a small company.
That's a good thing to point out, that all entrepreneurs aren't the same, right? We have to really focus on all different types, whether it's male, female, whatever race you are, wherever you're from, whatever part of you're doing the entire state of Kansas. You might have somebody in a rural community building something that's cool and innovative and potentially a great investment.
I would love to challenge more women and non-white males to think really big and come up with these kinds of ideas. I don't think we're seeing enough of them in our portfolio. We don't have enough non-male, non-white founders.
We're seeing more, but probably not enough, right?
Yeah.
From when you started.
Having a high-growth technology business is not the only way to grow a business. So
there's Main Street entrepreneurs out there too, right?
I
started a little sock company with a few friends, and it it did pretty well. And it was manufacturing, but it wasn't the high-tech, high-growth, but it managed to be successful. You mentioned revenue and profits. That's always important, right?
Your sock company was the cool gift for Christmas stocking stuffers for years, for a lot of people,
yeah,
I'm sure.
They're doing really well.
Still is,
so you guys have a board as well? That supports you. Can you tell us about that? I know there's a lot of very successful people on that board that are helping make the decisions for some of these investments.
Governance in a business is really important. Helping surrounding entrepreneurs or any business owner with outside opinions, people to run things by and challenge you. Our board is fantastic. We have Ron LeMay, who is the founder of Open Air Equity Partners, which is basically a company that has incubated companies and then grown them and spun them out. Ron, interestingly, speaking of Sprint, was the first employee of what was Sprint PCS, if you remember Sprint PCS, when Sprint was still a landline company. So Ron is one of the godfathers of wireless in this country, and just a
he has built kind of his own fund as well, right?
Yeah, that he has, not a fund.
Those are major investment type things, correct?
Oh, he's like
millions, tens of millions that he puts in. Yeah.
GoGo InFlight is one of his Zave.
He spoke to us at the Casey Tomorrow class. I was very impressed by some of the names he was throwing out.
Zave was sold to Google. Yeah, he's got some real success.
So he's on the board.
And he has a couple of early stage companies. We have a conflicts committee. So when we look at one of Ron's deals, we bring in our outside folks. But he has a fintech company right now called Main Street Data that's in the agriculture space, that's really, really interesting, and using agriculture data for insurance companies and banks to look at risk and you know, traders and all kinds of folks. But so that's Ron. And then Toby Rush. Mm-hmm. Toby is a name that a lot of folks in town know, who helped a founder who was a UMKC professor take a company, take an idea about the vein patterns and the whites of your eyes, and using that to be a fintech solution for security. That company went from zero to over $100 million exit in 4 years. I was an investor in that, helped pay for our daughter's wedding. That was awesome.
That
but
was
really,
cool.
Toby is a serial entrepreneur. He's on to doing some other cool things and be a great guy for your for
yeah,
your
he's kind of a, now he's kind of reaching that, you know, phase of being kind of a leader in the and giving back after that exit.
Well,
correct?
He's building something.
He's building something
too dissimilar
other things,
from
yeah.
what Ron has too. So that's kind of cool to
that's
see.
Right.
They're now calling it a venture studio model of helping to incubate young companies and grow them. So there's a lot of activity. We have more venture funds. We have more investors. This is a great time to build a company in Kansas City and keep that company in Kansas City.
So you've mentioned we've kind of gone through the history in the past. We're in a new year now, and want to know kind of what you're excited about for 2020, and what are some of your goals for the year, Darcy, as far as how you want to continue to grow this and help companies, essentially.
Yes. Well, and with this network all over the country with our venture partners, it's really interesting to watch other communities. What's going on? How can we replicate that? You know, I'm a very big believer in just doing something that somebody else does. Like, we could do that here.
Yeah, you know what? People just need to embrace that, right? I mean, learn from other people. You get smarter. I mean, if something works, it's the same thing in politics. I always said if Georgia or name a state passes a bill that really works out for economic development or job creation or whatever it is, why not take it and pass it in your state?
Well, so two things that I've stolen from other places that we're employing now that I think will be even bigger in 2020, and all to help the portfolio companies, but it also tangentially helps the region as well. One is that this corporate idea that the corporations are looking for innovation. Young innovative companies need customers. Just connecting the dots between the two of them has been bringing some really interesting things. We're just showing some innovation to the Kansas City Royals and the new ownership team yesterday, mm-hmm. a new ownership group yesterday.
Why not?
Cool,
I mean, corporations
ideas.
Really need to get more involved, and they have been, which is positive.
So that's one. And the other one is something I stole from Detroit. They called it Detroit Homecoming. We call it Back to KC. You can go to back2kc.org if you are interested in either being an ambassador here in Kansas City that helps to bring back others who are from the region or want to be in Kansas City. And then we have our KC champions who live elsewhere, who are curious about what's going on in Kansas City and might want to move back. We've had 2 years of that. Back to KC is something I started, but is now owned by Startland, the entrepreneur foundation, the group. And we brought back in 18, we brought back 28 folks and 9 of them have moved here.
Oh, wow.
2019, we brought back a few more, and 2020, it's going to be big.
Darcy Howe, I appreciate you coming on the Grill Nation show. KCRiseFund.com. Thanks for all of your hard work for Kansas City, and look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you, Jason. Love what you're doing.
You've been listening to the Grill Nation show. We'll see you again next week. Take care.
I am unwritten, can't read my mind. I'm undefined.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.